Hello, Vine Street Christian Church family and friends. It's Pastor Bob here. I'm with Ed Coller and Debbie Howell, two other members of our worship team, and we are going to produce for you a Palm Sunday Sabbath service just for today, just for you. We hope you enjoy it. And as always, we're going to begin our service with the ringing of the church bell. And there we go. What a great way to start a Sunday. What a perfect way to start a Palm Sunday. And just to let you know, we're going to be ringing the bell. A group of folks from church will be ringing the bell every day during Holy Week at noon and at 6 p.m. So if you want to be listening for it or even come and stand outside, that'd be awesome. And now Debbie and Ed are going to bring us the invocation, and Debbie will then follow that with the recitation of the Lord's Prayer that everyone can join in.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna.
Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shone upon us.
Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Please pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And now for our opening hymn, we're going to hear a great song that really sums up the situation we're in today and how we should be relating to each other. Bill Withers passed away this week, but he wrote several beautiful songs, and this one's called Lean on Me.
And I'll be your friend. just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call. If you need a friend, call me a hotline. If you need a friend, if you ever need a friend, call me, call me, call me, call me, call me, call me. If you need a friend.
The late, great Bill Withers for that message that we're all practicing so well during these times, leaning on each other, reaching out to each other, and being there for each other. And speaking of these times that we're in, Ed and I decided that we do kind of our town hall Q&A format for a little bit today during the service, which centers around really, one, what's going on in our world today with COVID-19, and two, what, if anything, does the Bible and God have to say about it? So I'm going to let Ed ask these penetrating PhD dissertation-style questions, and I'll see if I can come up with something for an answer.
Well, first of all, I hope that everyone is staying safe and healthy. I have myself, every time I talk to someone or write to someone, correspond with someone, be on Facebook or in birthday cards or whatever is going on at this time, I'm always telling everybody the same thing: stay healthy and stay hopeful. And I got to thinking about what I really meant by hopeful, and of course that challenges my faith a little bit. And so, Bob, what I'm going to do is ask you a few questions about this recent pandemic that we're all going through, and I know people are tired of hearing about it, but I think it's important that we turn to our faith and we turn to God and we understand where He is in what we're going through. So here's the first question. It reminds me sometimes, this pandemic reminds me sometimes, that there are stories in the Bible that include the story of God when He punished the Egyptians with a series of plagues when Moses asked to have His people freed, to let them go. And when Pharaoh refused, God started these plagues on the people of Egypt. Now, what I want to know is, where is God in this current COVID-19 pandemic?
So I'm reading into that when you say, where is God in this? Does God have a role in terms of bringing it about? Is there a reason God is doing this to us? Or if not, what else is going on with God? And I think it's important for us to remember, by the way, the Ten Commandments was on TV last night, and we got to witness those plagues, just to remind us that we're not the only ones. Of course, everything we know of the Old Testament now, it's important to see it through the lens of Jesus Christ. We know now that Jesus is like God, that Jesus is the human replica of God. A lot of people didn't know that for a long time, but we know that now. So we can look at what's going on through that lens. And so when people try to talk to me about the God that punishes people, like Pharaoh, who sins or doesn't act the way God wants him to act and brings plagues around on nations that kill thousands of innocent people, you know, that just doesn't fit with our Jesus Christ lens. That just doesn't work. Now, at that time, of course, they didn't have that lens. So in all their relationships, if you think about it, think of the ancient civilizations, all their relationships with gods were very personal and day-to-day. God affected everything they might do. In fact, they would have a god for everything. You know, a god for rain, a god for sun, a god for wind, a god for love. You know, these personal gods that were all intimately involved in their daily life. That's how they came to believe in gods. So with the Israelites, the big thing that was new was there's one God. There's not a whole host of gods. There's not a family of gods. There's one God, creator of all, ruler over all. That's a big enough leap in the mindset of people to try to understand. But to then try to get them to understand, and that God is benevolent to the extent that he's given us a free will to bring about the own consequences for our lives in the world, well, that takes time, and it's still taking time. My answer to you then is, where is God in all this? God is all over this. God spends God's time responding to the consequences of sin in the world, our fallen nature. And that sin, we think about sin as something we humans do, bad behavior or something. But sin is simply the fallen nature of the world. And it's not just humans, it's creation, the all of creation, including nature. And nature is out of harmony with God's original Garden of Eden. And therefore, viruses come up like a COVID-19. And what God is doing, as God always does, is responding to those situations in this world to help move it more and more to God's kingdom by getting us through this and moving us forward back according to God's will.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, that does bring certain things to light, especially what we're going through. I guess kind of a follow-up question with that would be, you know, this pandemic continues to spread, and the United States now is right in the center of it, and especially New York and the number of people who are not only contracting this terrible virus, but dying on a daily basis in record numbers. And this isn't meant to scare anyone. It really isn't. But again, I guess I'm looking for that hope and asking the question. I pray every day for an end to this, and I pray every day that people who are losing loved ones can keep their faith and still be hopeful. But I guess my question then is this, is God listening, and is he reacting to our prayers?
Well, absolutely. It isn't just our prayers. God is always reacting to this world and the situation it's in and what's going on. Prayer is what connects us to God's reaction to the world, so that we can be more aligned with God's will through prayer, and in a sense become part of the assistance team, part of the hands and feet, if you will, for God to help bring about restoration, reconciliation, health, whatever it might be that's going on in the world that God needs to fix us from. So God is always responding to the consequences of our fallen world. When we pray, we connect with God's work. We connect with God's will and can become part of that whole effort, that force that's working in the world. And as we pray more and more, that becomes more and more of our life. And we find our lives changing because we're not living for ourselves anymore. We become part of God's team in the world to respond to all the different things that go on because of sin.
Well, that's interesting that you mention it that way, because it kind of leads into this last question, and I'm going to take this a little bit personal. I feel this ache inside of me of wanting to do more, of wanting to do something to help. I don't know if I can save the whole world, but I guess I'm just thinking of, you know, what can I do personally as a Christian? What is our Christian responsibility during times like these? Can you give us some hints or some helpful things? Well, here's what you can do as a Christian to get us through this crisis.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of good intentions to help as many people as we can to, quote unquote, save the world, if you will. That's kind of our Christ complex. We want to be saving the world as Jesus is called to save the world. That's not our calling. Our calling is to pray and listen for God and to see where God is working in our midst, in our life, in your personal life. What might God be calling you specifically to do? And often God will put those things right in front of you if you don't get ahead of God. Our tendency is to want to go ahead and make decisions on our own, come out of the, you know, what do they call it? Shoot, ready, aim, you know? And before you know it, we're into something, we're doing something, all with the best intentions. But we respond best when we do it according to God's will, and that's called a calling. You know, we use that word a lot. The calling is what God is calling you to today. And your ministry response to this, Ed, might be right on your front porch. It might be right down the street. It might be someone you run into later today or talk to on Facebook. God tends to bring it right to you. It's called front porch ministry. And some people may be called as healthcare workers to go help in New York. They may get that calling in their heart. But before you make any decision, small, large, whatever, you should always reach out to God in prayer and try to get in touch with that calling. You know, Mother Teresa started this whole trend of people wanting to go to India and save the poor people and the people who were dying. And everybody thought, okay, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. But what she told us was, your Calcutta's right down your street. You know, your Calcutta's right in front of you. We're just called to help everyone the best we can. And God will help us do that to the best we can if we don't get ahead of God.
Well, thank you. Like I say, I think I'll just end my portion of this just by wishing everyone good health. And to say it one more time, and I'll say it one more time again, is everyone, please stay healthy and stay hopeful.
Amen. And I'll end, Ed, just by saying, sometimes as human beings, we get a bigger sense of our power and abilities than we really have. And forget about God still being the ruler of heaven and earth. And we wonder, how can a virus like this happen? How, you know, think about things that have happened recently. 9/11. I thought our military power was so strong that could never happen to us, right? Or what about Katrina? Well, I thought our hurricane response was so good that could never happen to us. And what about COVID-19? I thought our healthcare system was so good that could never happen to us. This is the story of the earth and human beings living on it. There's always a greater force than what we can come up with. Ever since the Enlightenment a few hundred years ago, we've started to think we have the answers to everything. And this world keeps reminding us, God has the answers to everything, and we can help God in responding to that. So we keep that in mind as we go forward, and we know God's got this, and will lead us through it, and we'll be there at the end stronger and more hopeful than ever. Amen? Okay, what a great discussion to have, and to keep those discussions going. It's one of the best ways we learn about God and the nature of God by what's going on in our real lives. Well, speaking of things eternal and universal, there's nothing more eternal in the music world than Bill and Gloria Gaither. Amen. So for our praise hymn today, we're going to turn to the Gaither family and this classic hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Stop.
Oh, what a beautiful hymn that was. Ed and Debbie just went upstairs in the church to put the roof back on, and we only lost a couple windows on that. So we're still in good shape here, and let's move on to our Palm Sunday scripture today. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, and Debbie Howell is going to read that for us.
Okay, this is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 40. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them, "and as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said, and sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Then the crowd spread out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and as they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And he replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers."
Amen. May God have blessings on the reading and hearing of the word. Just a short message today about that scripture. You're probably all very familiar with it. You know, what we're not doing today is having a Palm Sunday parade in the sanctuary. We're not parading down the streets with our palm leaves. We've got our palm leaves here, and we're going to use them in just a minute. But the whole thing about having the parade in the church, you know, or outside is not really the important thing. The point of Jesus coming into Jerusalem is a very personal thing. It's a question for you. And the question is, where are you? And it's not just a physical question. Are you at this parade, or are you at the other end of town to see Pilate come into town? Where are you in all of this? But more importantly, it's a spiritual question. Because we all have this kind of sense of believing in Jesus or being a Christian, but many of us don't really understand what that means all the time. In fact, I'd say probably most of us don't understand what that really means all the time. That's why we have church and Bible studies and things like this, Q&A sessions. I want to put forth for you a kind of a format for thinking about your relationship with Jesus and how you can think about it, and as you come out of this week and Easter, how you might look forward in building your relationship with Christ. For me, and this is how I kind of think about it, it began with something called belief. And I think most people who come to church, and even in our culture probably, believe in Jesus Christ, or would say they believe in Jesus, but really aren't understanding what that might mean. Some people believe that he existed 2,000 years ago, and there were gospels written about him. Some people believe that he's the Son of God or God incarnate. Some people believe that he's alive and present today in our world. I just wonder where that belief is. That belief really doesn't take you to any kind of certain destination about your faith. It's just an understanding of something is there. Something is present. Jesus is there. He's present. He was a historical figure. He was the Son of God. He was the Christ. But he's there. I believe that. But that really doesn't take you inside to your heart. It just gets you started. And what you need to do for the next step is what I think we've been doing a lot of in the past 3 years here at Vine Street, and that is coming to know Jesus, coming to understand him, talking about him. What kind of person was he? What did he represent? How did he do his healings? What did he teach? What is he trying to get from us? What does he want from us? Learning more and more about Jesus. But that really can't be the end of your journey. That might make you a Bible scholar or someone who can write about Jesus or teach Jesus a lot, but that's not what Jesus called us to. He didn't call us to become teachers of him. He called us to be followers of him, his way of life, his teachings. So we go from believing in him to knowing more about him, and then the big step, to building a personal relationship, a relationship with Jesus Christ, as if he was your best friend, as if he was the most important person in the world to you. And that's hard to do. That's a big leap from knowing more about Jesus to building this kind of solid, firm relationship with him, daily basis, all the time, constantly in conversation with Jesus, constantly letting him guide you and lead you in your life. That is a lifelong journey in itself. That never ends. But getting on that path to that is where we all need to be. Going on a relationship in our faith with Jesus Christ is what gets us inside ourselves, starts transforming us and making us more and more disciples that he's calling us to be. So we go from believing, which probably most of you are there, to learning more about Jesus, which we're in the process of doing every day, to building a relationship with Christ. That's personal. That's between you and God. That's something I can't impose on you or make you do. You have to do that yourself. That's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And then the last part. As you build that relationship, as you get to know each other, as you become comfortable with each other, then you learn to trust. And that's the final step. Surrendering things that you care deeply about that are very important to you, including your own self-will, and surrendering that to Jesus Christ, giving him control over your life. That is what the disciples have done, and that's what we're called to do. So as we gather around for the parade today in our own minds, a virtual Palm Sunday parade, when we say, where are you? It's not just, are you there waving palm leaves or are you not? It's, where are you in your heart? Are you ready to make a leap in your life from knowing and believing and knowing to building a relationship and then surrendering to him? Because when Easter Sunday comes and he rises from the dead, it's the ones who have surrendered everything for him, just like he had just done for us on Good Friday, that reap the full rewards of a life with Christ. So for me, that's what Palm Sunday's about. It's kind of a gut check. It's a heart check to see, where am I with Jesus Christ and where do I need to build my relationship to make it stronger? And now let's move to the center of our service. It's that way every Sunday, not just Palm Sunday, and that's our communion service. Well, we don't have a parade going on inside the church today, but we do have palm leaves. And I want you to hear those so you get a sense of all the leaves we have. And if you were here, what you'd be hearing. Amen. And now as Ed and Debbie take those palm leaves and lay them around our communion table, over the shoes and on down the steps, I want to invite you to visualize sitting at that table, seeing that table in the front of the church, watching them place those palm leaves around this sacred table of ours in our sanctuary, thinking about where you sit when you come to church. Put yourself in that spot. You've come in, we've had the service, and now it's time for communion. A meal with Jesus Christ. And you there are sitting in your usual spot, probably, right? You have people around you. As you watch Ed and Debbie place those palm leaves around the communion table, like I'm doing right now, think about the people around you in this sanctuary. And I want you to think about one person in particular that sits by you. And just keep that person in your heart by yourself. I want you to think about just you and that person coming to dine with Jesus Christ. It's not 12 this time, it's just 3. Jesus, you, and that other person. Who's with you from this congregation? Someone you don't know too well? Maybe someone in your family? But whatever it is, your brothers and sisters in Christ today, you are coming to the table of the Lord. Jesus has invited you too, to the table. So as you picture yourself with that person in our congregation, I want you to start saying their name in your heart and in your mind. I want you to start praying for them, thinking about them and praying for them as if you're saying the blessing before the communion meal. I want you to hold their hand. We can do that virtually. Hold their hand and touch their hearts. Let them know that they can lean on you, that you're there for them, that in fact we're family. We're all family of Jesus Christ. And now as you and that person sit down with Jesus, very intimate setting, he lifts the cup, he lifts the bread up, and he prays over it to his Father in heaven. And he tells you too, just you too, he says, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this bread, remember me. And he breaks two pieces off of that bread and hands them to you. And you too partake of the bread. And as you finish, he lifts the cup from the table. And he says a prayer over it. And he tells you too that this cup is the new covenant that he's making with you both. It's a covenant made from his blood, shed for both of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. He says, whenever you two drink from this cup, no matter what day it is, no matter where you are, remember me. Think of me. Think of the family we have. Think of all my disciples. Think of your calling in this world. Think of what I'm asking from you, he says. Think about Palm Sunday and where you are. Now think about where you want to be with me. What kind of relationship do you want to have? As you finish the meal, Jesus puts one hand on the forehead of one of you and the other on the forehead of the other, and he blesses you. And he says, now, go from here and be my children in the world. Amen. You know, what Jesus is really trying to teach us is that we don't only need him, but we need each other. We need him working through each other to help get us through this life. We are just people who need people. And when we put Jesus Christ into the equation, we become mightily blessed. So we're going to close today with a classic song from Barbra Streisand. It's about people who need people.
First be a person who needs special person, a feeling deep in your soul says you are half now your whole. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people.
Well, thanks to Ed and Debbie for being here today to help with this service. And I want to close with a benediction that goes like this. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors at Vine Street Christian Church. Amen to all of you, and we'll continue to send out our daily Lenten devotionals to you. Have a blessed Sabbath.